אבל במצב שקט. שלום. We are on. Very interesting topic, as usual. Rav Kook is going to help us find our inner selves, whereas in life there are a lot of different facades. And we'll start with the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. Amar Rav Hoshea. This is the Gemara in Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Hoshea. Kol ha-mimarek atzmo la-avera, chaburot u-ptza'im yotzim bo. Whoever brings himself to sin, he will have different sores that will show up on his body. Shnei amar chaburot petza tamruk bira. Velo od, ele shenidon behidrokan. Hidrokan, interesting word. Apparently it's from the source of hydro. It used to be translated as dropsy. What it is it's talking about swelling inside the body. In other words, that if a person brings himself to sin, first of all, he will have external sores, and also it will have internal sores. Shnei amar umakot chedrei baten. He will have makot, that's makot. He will suffer
Right?
Inside his stomach.
Bruises,
okay. Amrav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, siman la'avira hidrokan. That a sign for somebody who has brought himself to sin is having this dropsy or swelling. Again, it's an internal swelling. And the question, one of the questions that Rav Kook is going to deal with is, why do we need a siman? Why do we need a sign? What is going on? And what is the symbolism here? So Rav Kook says as follows. This is in Siman Resh Lamed Vav. Hadracha mekolkelet, hanotelet et kol ziv ha'adam b'shifluta. When a person is following lowly advice. Here it's talking about when he gives himself advice. When a person is living a lowly life, he mashchetet et ha'adam v'ta'achevra b'shnei atzdadim. Not only does it hurt the man himself, but it also hurts society. This is something that we've seen many times before. Rav Kook always writes about how a person doesn't live in a vacuum. You affect your society. You affect, that's part of his Zionism. You affect your nation. He mashpelet et ha'erech, so it works in two different ways. He mashpelet et ha'erech ha'chevruti ad shemigraot murgashot va'ayumot muchachot livaled b'tzdadim ha'chitzonim shel ha'chevra ha'enoshit. When a person is not acting properly, and he has a problem with his sidrei adifut, with his priorities, it appears externally in the chevra, socially, biachas litzedek umishpat. It will eventually appear as a problem in justice, in righteousness, lishalom ulenedivut, in terms of altruism and volunteering. Tafka, it's interesting. I saw once that Israel has the highest rate in the world of volunteering. And that is a good sign for a good society. On the other hand, if a society is self-centered, people give less money, people volunteer less, people are not interested in ben adam l'chavero, in shalom, nor tzedek or mishpat. Shekol eile einam nif'alim, ki imal yedei heyota adam bilti mitlachlech bezuama shel shiflut. Here Rav Kook is using an interesting term.
Can you please scroll down a little bit?
Okay, tada. Thank you for the reminder. Rav Kook uses an interesting term, nif'al. A person is activated because there are different levels of nature. We believe that a person's nature is good. A person's neshama, his godly neshama, is godly, is good, is altruistic. But, on the other hand, It is like a pianist who, if he doesn't practice, and if he never lets the famous riddle, who is probably the greatest pianist in the world? And the answer is, I don't know either. And he doesn't know either, because he might be living somewhere in Africa where he never has seen a piano, and he does not realize his potential. And the same thing writes the Mesilat Yesharim, the Ramchal, that our goodness is a potential nature. But if we don't realize it, if we don't work at it, we won't realize that nature. In other words, we all have a conscience, but we need to be educated to learn how to develop that and how to realize it. And that's why Rav Kook says, Shekol Eile, all of these good things of volunteering, peace, righteousness, justice, Einam Nif'alim, they are only activated. If a person is not sullied, if he's not dirtied with the lowliness of what the Baal HaTanya calls the nefesh habehemit, a person's lower, even animalistic self. So the real me is godly, but we have to work at it. And that's what the Torah, and that's what midot tovot, good quality traits, that's what it's about. Paragraph bet. Omnam, chutz la hara'a murgeshet achitzonit, gedola hi hara'a shel ovdan ha'kedusha ve'amusar, shel harichuk miyot alul lahargish et kol emet v'chol nizgav. Here Rav Kook is talking about the second aspect, and that is that a society, it may be that externally it's functioning, it has a justice system, it may even obligate people to volunteer. I remember in high school we had an obligation to volunteer. We used to joke it wasn't exactly volunteering. But a society, it can externally be functioning, but if a person becomes desensitized to bad, and also it becomes desensitized to good, he doesn't feel the goodness, and he doesn't see the problem with evil. Zota machala hipnimit. This is the other aspect. To summarize, Rav Kook is saying that when a person, and afterwards his society, is crooked, it appears also internally and also externally. Here we'll already foreshadow. Rav Kook is talking about the external sores and also the internal sores. Just like in kashrut, we know that there are animals that don't chew the cud and also don't have split hooves. On the other hand, there is the pig who holds out his split hooves to show that externally he's kosher. The problem is internally. And what Rav Kook is saying is that sometimes externally a society may have well manners, may have good manners. We in Israel know this from the British. Unfortunately, they always had very nice manners when they took all of the those Jews who were running away from the Holocaust and sent them to Cyprus or sent them back to Europe, or even today. Even when the English are anti-Semitic, they do it very politely. And Rav Kook is saying that you also have to look at the external and also at the internal. Lifumriata, if you take something at face value or someone at face value, einani keret b'malach ha'chaim shel ha'chevra chitzonit. You may not see the crookedness or the problems of priorities externally, because in the meantime, society is functioning and it's good and society has values. Aval hi muchrachat lehitgaleh. It's just a matter of time before the internal breaks out, and we all see that it's a facade. Ki me'ein dat et Hashem, if a person doesn't know God, if he's not connected to Torah, if he's not connected to godly morality, hashiflut shel kol amidot ma'asiyot hayoter shfelot levakesh swara vehitpashtut. The animalistic tendencies eventually will burst out. In other words, the idea of the Torah is to get us to work at our internal, and that way the things become real, because nothing should be more real than your spirituality, than your midot, than my being a good person. That has to be real, and it can't be a facade, because otherwise it will just break out. Let's look for a second in source number 3. I have to remember to scroll down. Where Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato talks about this in Mesilat Yesharim. He talks about arrogant people who very often try and cover up their arrogance. V'yesh geya acher. There are different types of arrogant people. He's given certain examples. And now he's going to give another type of arrogant person. Sheyachshov b'libo shekvaru kol kach gadol u'mechubad al she'i efshar l'chavod sheyitparesh mimenu ve'no tzarich lo klal. A person who is so, in Hebrew today they say af al atzmo, he's so into himself that he doesn't even need honor, because everyone else's honor is small for him. It doesn't activate him. He's so arrogant that he doesn't need honor. Ularota davara ze yase maasim kemaaseha anav. And this person, outwardly, externally, he will act like a humble person. Viafriza midotav laraot shiflut gadol va'anava. And he'll do different actions, you know, after you, always honoring the other person, where internally he is really arrogant. He really puts himself first. Adin cheker. Vilibo mitnase bikir bo lemor ani kol kach rav kol kach nichbad. This guy says, I am so elevated, so great. Shekvar eini tzarich lechavod. I don't need honor. Ve'en li ela livater alav. Shekvar rav huetzli. I can forego all of the honor because I am so great. I don't need any honor. Again, his humility is a facade. Continues the Ramchal in paragraph Bet. I even remembered again to scroll down. V'yimtza ge'e acher, a different type, another type of arrogant person. Sherotze liot nirsham harbe b'malotav ulityached bidrachav. He wants people to notice how special he is. Ad shelo dailo sheyalu kol olam al malot asher hu choshev sheyesh bo. That it's not enough that people praise him for the true talents that he has. Now, it's talking about somebody who does have talents. And we all know the talented people. I mentioned once in a shiur Rav Kook in Bechidro. There are the diaries of Rav Kook, his personal diaries, which were never printed in his books. And there's an interesting line there where Rav Kook says, my whole life I have been struggling with the trait of ga'ava, to overcome my arrogance. And Baruch Hashem, I am beginning to succeed. Something like that. Now, obviously, he's not writing for other people, because otherwise he would say that I am succeeding in overcoming my arrogance. But being such a genius and such an original thinker and so popular and so charismatic, like all talented people, Rav Kook has a problem with arrogance because he really has what to be proud about. The Ramchal, Mesilat Yesharim, is talking about this person who not only does he want people to praise him for that which he really has, but he also wants people to praise him for his humility. And he goes around pretending to be humble. And again, it's all a facade. But he wants people to praise him also for humility. He is arrogant regarding his humility. There's a famous case of the Chafetz Chaim, who we all know he's named the Chafetz Chaim after his first famous book about the laws of Lashon Hara. which he called Chafetz Chaim, based on the Pasuk, who wants to live a long life? Somebody who guards his tongue from speaking evil. Now, originally, the Chafetz Chaim wrote the book anonymously, out of humility. Somewhere along the line, the secret got out who wrote the book, and then, in the later editions, he started signing his name, because if people know that it's him, and he continues publishing it anonymously, that's fake. And then that which at first was humility can turn into arrogance. In other words, these are very, very careful issues. We spoke about them once. Rav Kook speaks in Einaya about relating to donors. Somebody who donates something, that on the one hand, you want other people to learn from his example. Somebody donates a shul, donates a Sefer Torah. On the other hand, he should want to do it anonymously, humbly. And in this case, Dafka Rav Kook writes that we owe it to the community to set him as an example to show what could and should be done. In other words, sometimes a person has to overcome what he would want to do humbly, and for the sake of Am Yisrael, for the sake of others, do it publicly. Anyway, continues the Ramchal, V'rotze b'chavod o mashem mareh atzmo boreach mimenu. And he's pretending to run away from honor. This guy who's doing everything anonymously, and he wants people to know that he's doing it anonymously. V'nei ge'e kaze yasim atzmo tachat ktanim mimenu harbe o tachat nivzim sheba'am. He'll do a lot of things which will show that he is humble. And again, it's all fake. He's an imposter. He doesn't want people to call him honorable terms. Why? He doesn't need it, because he wants to show how humble he is. And by the way, these are things that rabbis, for example, have to always be aware what is the proper way to act. I remember when I first began teaching and I had students stand up for me, and it's embarrassing, it's uncomfortable. And I spoke with a Rebbe of mine, and he said, Davka, it's good for them. You have to let them learn, especially in our generation, where there is a lack of kavod, you have to give them an opportunity to give honor, even if it's uncomfortable for you. The same thing you'll notice very often at dinners or at tkasim, at ceremonies, they have the VIP sitting in the front. So if a person can sit in the back because he doesn't want the honor, great. But if by sitting in the back, you're just going to get 10, 20, 30 people coming up to you and say, move up to the front. We saved you a seat in the front. You should be at the front table. So that already is not humility. That's arrogance. And these are the type of things, again, that every situation is different. But you got to be sensitive. Paragraph Gimel. Ve'omnam. These type of arrogant people, even though they're acting as if they are humble, there is no lacking. Eventually, they are going to trip up. And everyone will find out who they really are inside. And this is what we refer to in the title, that there is certain anxiety in these type of people who have an imposter syndrome, who are always scared that, what if people find out what I'm really like inside? And eventually, says the Ramchal, it bursts out. Ki lahava, like a flame. Hayotzeit mi ben acharasim. Ukvar mashlu chachamim zal, a very famous allegory. Mashal bayit malei tevin. That a building, maybe a silo, is full of a grain. Tevin is more kash. It's a... Sorry?
Straw.
Straw, right? Vaya babayit churin, and in the silo or in the building there are holes. Vaya teva nichnas bem, and you stuff in as much straw as you can. Lachar yamim itchil oto ateven shaya betocho tamachorin yotze, and it's just a matter of time before the straw starts bursting out of the seams. Says the Ramchal, that is the end. In the words of Abraham Lincoln, you remember, you can fool some of the people some of the time, all of the time. You can fool all of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. Eventually, these things get out. And that's why facades are not good. A person has to be real. And again, like what Rav Kook is saying, the inner and the external. Because if a person isn't real, isn't idealistic inside, eventually those sores are going to appear also outside. I remember in elementary school, we had a bunch of teachers. They wanted Israeli teachers who could speak Hebrew, but they weren't really religious, but they pretended to be religious. And all of us kids knew when they were imposters, because kids have antennas. And usually adults can also tell when a person is putting on an act. I remember, if you remember O.J. Simpson, the famous football star, the younger people maybe just remember him as a has-been who killed his wife and took the best lawyers to get him off the hook. And what was always unique about O.J. Simpson, I remember this as a kid, that he was a Afro-American, but he spoke English like a white. And his biographers wrote that he actually did courses to perfect his diction, because eventually he wanted to become a sports broadcaster so that he could speak like a Caucasian. And it was known that when he spoke, he didn't speak like a black. And then one time he threatened his wife while she was on the phone with the police. And the whole world heard what O.J. Simpson really talks like when he is telling his wife, "You put down the phone and now you don't call the police." And it's not good to put on an act, because eventually it comes out. The same thing, Chazal say, Adam nikar bekiso bekaaso ubekoso. That when a person is angry, I remember once when I was a kid, I heard a rabbi, all of a sudden, something happened and he yelled out a curse. And then he caught himself, and it was very embarrassing, also for him and for all of us. And it's not easy when a person is angry to control that inner self. But that's what we're saying. If a person learns enough Musar, if you work on your character traits enough, we can get to a stage. I remember in high school, I'll give the example that we're talking about. On the basketball team, everybody curses. And I wanted to stop cursing. And I thought of a way of stopping to curse. And to this day, sometimes if I get my hand slammed in a door or something, I will just yell my invented curse of Duke. It doesn't mean anything, but it's a word that I invented in order not to curse. And it's just an example that even something like that, bikiso, bikaaso, the same thing, bikoso, when a person is drunk on Purim, you could see who he really is inside. The same thing, bikiso, when a person loses a lot of money, or something costs them a lot of money. That's where you could tell who a person really is. And this is really what Freudian slips are about, right? You remember Freudian slips? Where a lot of famous politicians like George Bush, right? They probably have, you can find on YouTube, a long list of his Freudian slips. And a Freudian slip is exactly that. It's not just a tongue twister, but it's something that you have in your psyche or in your subconscious, and it comes out when you're nervous, or when you want to say something else. And this is exactly what we're talking about, that a person has to work on his internal, because otherwise, eventually, it will come out. Let's go back to paragraph Gimel. Scrolling up. I'm getting good at this. Alken, kolak memarek atzmo la'avera. מצד החיצוני של הקלקול, מכות ופצעים יוצאים בו. מצד הפנימי, הנה המחלה הפנימית תיתן אותותיה שנידון בהידרוקן. As we explained. וכאשר לפעמים, paragraph ד', וכאשר לפעמים, אין הרושם החיצוני בולט, sometimes, like we said before, a nice British gentleman, outward, he seems very nice and very polite, and you don't see his crookedness or his anti-Semitism inside. V'chayei ha'chevra nir'im k'malachim k'sidram, where a certain society, which externally it seems to be functioning according to good priorities. K'zi b'chayim ha'pratim, regarding the individual, shel ha'adam. V'chein b'chayei ha'klal, also regarding society. Asher be'emet ein ze ba ki'im mesibat, kehiyut einav v'kotzer ru'uto shel ha'adam. Rav Kook says, this is just because we are nearsighted. Because we don't, most people are not so observant. Observant people, like we said before, children, can always smell who the person is on the inside. Al kena totzaot apnimiyot, shein murgashot lechoder. Lirot, for somebody who does know how to look and observe inside. Lakir, and he will recognize the ma'amara nafshi shel achote. He will recognize the problematic spiritual level of the sinner. He notnoto totean siman la'avera hidrokan. Again, when a person is a sinner, sometimes it will be external. Sometimes it will at first just be internal. But it's only a matter of time before that becomes external. If so, what is the solution? Right? How can we really be real? How can we really be humble? How can we really not curse? How can we really be who we want to be? So here, Rav Kook, in source number 4, comes to our aid. Erech haratzon amitgale al yedei ha-tshuva. This is in Orot ha-tshuva. It's good before Tisha B'Av in the month of Elul. Chapter 9, Piska Aleph. The value of our inner desire, which appears through tshuva. What does it mean, an inner desire? Let's see. Haratzon haba mikocha shel ha-tshuva. When a person really wants to improve, that's what tshuva, repentance, is really about, to want to improve. It is to get into the deepest deep of life. Again, notice, we said before that there are two levels that we've been talking about. There is the facade, the external, and then there is behind the scenes, behind the facade. But now we're talking about a deeper level, deeper than the deep, and that is the real me, my real desires, what I really want. Lo haratzon ha-shitchi, not what my external desires, shutofes rak et hatzdadim harafim v'chitzonim shel ha-chayim. This is the regulars who've been learning with us for 7-8 years. If you remember, Rav Kook writes about the difference between what I want and what I feel like. What I want is what I really want. That is my inner desire. Rav Soloveitchik calls it the ratzon elyon, as opposed to the ratzon tachton. Right? I feel like eating a lot of pizza. I feel like staying in bed and being lazy. But that's not what I want. What Rav Kook is telling us is to get in touch, that's what real tshuva is, to return to yourself. Tshuva literally does not mean repentance, it means to return. What does it mean? To return to your inner self. That's my real self, not my facade. and not what I'm hiding behind the facade, the imposter, right? Let's call it, there is the facade and there is the imposter, the fraud. Ki im oto ratzun shua garina yoter pnimi liyasod ha'chaim. The basic garin of life, the kernel, varei atzmita gmura shel haneshama, that is the real me. Again, the real me is not what I feel like doing. The real me is what I want. We all want to find a cure for corona. We want to win Nobel Prizes. We want to finish us. We want to wake up in the morning and go to Davin. We want greatness. That is the real me. And what Rav Kook is saying is, don't go by what you feel like. Go by what you want, because that is the real inner me. That's not the imposter. It's not the facade. That is inside. And it takes time and it takes work. Umitosh haratzon kavua letova yedei onka shel tshuva. Nikva tov, eventually, through working hard at this tshuva, at this improvement, nikva atov, that becomes the real me. If a person does something and repeats it over and over, acharei ha'pulot nimshechim alvavot. If a person has a bad habit, but you make a conscious effort to correct the habit time and time and time and time again, eventually you will correct that habit, and your habit will be a good habit. And that is the real neshama, umahuta. Umemela kolai hamshachot ha-toladiyot, kol zera shebal tshuva shelemet mevi leolam, nishav ora chayim shelehem yesod atov. Again, the idea is that the real me is good. The real me is my godly self, my idealistic self, who we all know deep down, that is the real me. Now, what makes it even harder is to give the other guy also the benefit of the doubt. To really believe that the real him is also the good him. And let's just finish off with source number 5, where another Pisgah Norota Tshuva, Rav Kook in chapter 11, Pisgah 6, Alken, tzarich kol chet, gam kal v'katan shebektanim, lizdakek, we have to purify even the smallest mishaps, even the smallest sins, kedei liyot mukhshar l'shamesh oto apol haklali elyon v'hametzuchtzach, and to shine it, to shine, to polish all of those small mishaps until we turn them around from bad to good. V'chol tshuva mi'ava ba'el oto ha'makor ha'pnimi, the inner, real me, shemisham kol ha'asui u'tov u'binyan shel tom v'yosher l'mafreya v'azdonot ha'mitapchim l'zchuyot enam tzrichim l'yitzira chadasha. Rav Kook here is referring to the Gemara at the end of Masechet Yoma, Daf Pei Vav, that I brought in Surah 6, where the Gemara says that when a person does tshuva, even his averot b'mezid turn into zchuyot. They not only are erased, but you polish the bad and you turn that into good. You take those character traits and turn it from -1 into +1. The idea isn't just to get rid of a trait. God gave us that trait. Don't go from -1 to 0, but to go from -1 to +1, right? Jump 2 stages. And that is how we uproot the bad, even retroactively, and turn that bad into good. When we consciously examine ourselves, analyze ourselves, when we have Tisha B'Av, and all fast days, especially Yom Kippur, are around the corner, the main point is to take it as a day of analysis. You could say, to the same extent, all of these quarantines and staying inside, and that we have more time. It's not just more time to learn, but we have more time to analyze ourselves and to analyze our actions and our midot, and to work on our inner real me. Don't work on the imposter because he's an imposter. Don't work behind the facade, because that eventually breaks out. But you got to work. We have to work on our real self. Beautiful ideas.